Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Rhythmic Mirror, and it is the sixth day of the Red Skywalker Wave Spell, and it is Lunar Moon Day 17. Let's start there. We're in the Lunar Moon. The Lunar Moon is the second moon of 13. It's called lunar because it asks us to explore polarity as represented by the lunar phases, looking at the moon and the sky, shadow and light, darkness and light. And in the lunar moon, we're always extrapolating from our life experience what is challenging. We're identifying it. So we've had 17 days of identifying what is challenging. It could be challenging for us personally. It could be challenging in a grander schema, like affecting the culture. And yet we're going to be looking at things sort of in polar reversal of how they're presented to us. If something is shown to us to be benign and optimistic, our instinct is to say that's not the entire picture. Where is the shadow of that? And that means that we're going to look like we're critical or trying to ascertain what's difficult behind the scenes of whatever presents as easy. And then there's the opposite. You know, when we're thrown into scenarios personally or it's presented to us through media that everything is terrible and falling apart, we might have the ability to see the lightness behind that dark picture. And I'm not having as much of that. I don't think many of us do. I think that the lunar tone is about identifying a challenge. So polarity means that we're going to position ourselves sort of opposite what we encounter. But in the lunar moon for 28 days, we are really strongly being given the choice to face that there is darkness in every full picture of life experience. And the way this works is in the magnetic moon, the first 28 days of the year, it started July 26th, we would have attracted a purpose-free year that would have the entirety of darkness and light, meaning it would be this inspirational, divinely guided, divinely anointed purpose that would fill us with hope and promise and action. You know, we want to take action towards fulfilling this destiny. That's very life-affirming. But there was also obstacles that we immediately had to orient ourselves around or toward, like within all of that inspiration or direction and that action that we want to fulfill, there's a way that we're stopped or challenged. And that's in existence in the magnetic moon, but the lunar moon is just for identifying it. So I've said this a number of times, if not too many times. In the magnetic tone, we receive everything. In the lunar tone, we move it into sort of different arenas or piles. Like, this is purpose that's sort of creates energy, and this is challenge that depletes or halts my movement. And we're going to be dancing with that halting force, that obstacle. Not like an enemy or even an adversary, but just more like something that's pushing back, resisting our easy, fluid, forward movement. And that's because that's what life is. You know, I always say really pedantic and also simplistic things like, if there weren't obstacles, then we would live in ether. I mean, the very existence on Earth is about being oriented to material life experience, which includes, you know, mountain ranges. They're an obstacle if you're trying to get somewhere fast, or an ocean that you can't cross without building the correct vessel. That would be a huge obstacle. And so, again, those are just the very most base child level examples of how Earth is full of challenge, and to be alive is to overcome that, to dance with it. So when we're studying natural time, which is an orientation to how to live on Earth while also trying to attain access to the divine source, then we are going to be dancing with obstacles. Yeah. And this is our time. And this is the third week in the west of this lunar moon. So I wondered, like, what kind of fever pitch we would get to around challenge. So far for me, this third week in the west, which I really prepared myself for last podcast, is just kind of helpful because I'm seeing the challenge, but it's not new information, and it's kind of morphing. I'm not sure the outcome because we have days forward. We have 4 days left in being in this transformational, emotional, watery Western world of darkness. It's where night falls in the Western sky. That's why it's called blue. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be hit hard with new realizations of how difficult life can be, or if such fervent acceptance that this is the time of identifying difficulty and being present with it has initiated me in a way that's different than years past. I just feel really highly conscious of the demand of the lunar moon to be not egotistically demanding that things turn over fast and, you know, at my command. Like, I have no dominance in the lunar moon. All I'm here to do is to learn about challenge. And, you know, another way of saying that is to learn about suffering. And so if you're a spiritual seeker, that should be inclusive. Learning about suffering is how you find your connection to God. Avoiding suffering, which is another way of seeking God, is, I don't think, as holy, and I think that the natural time cycles are designed to show us how to roll with life's various positions, and that includes abject humility, because we can't overcome challenge. It's subjugating us, and it causes grief, pain, as well as being in that place of humility so long that our expectations are diminished, that we have control. And in that loss of control and that surrender, suddenly we're lifted up. We feel so much connection to, yeah, that altered state of being with spirit. So there you go. That's it. I think that's enough on the lunar moon, because we're just rolling through. Just stay humble, stay open, stay curious, stay respectful, and learn about challenge. Learn what it is. It's fascinating. And then the Red Skywalker wave spell is what's making me a little spaced out here chatting, because I am lost in space. I'm out exploring like a Skywalker. I'm walking in the clouds. I have a very small footprint here on Earth and an expansive experience of sky. That's not actually happening in my life. It's just all metaphoric, and it's a way of surrendering to Red Skywalker. But here's what I love about Red Skywalker. I love being spaced out. It kind of isn't true, because I'm aging. So sometimes when I'm spaced out, it's because my mind is sort of hit a snag, and I cannot remember what I was just doing or where I was going when I walked into that room to get something. And I'll stand there in this mystery and realize, oh, this is aging. It's going to just get thicker, denser, in terms of slight confusion and disorientation. But that's also kind of like being out of control, which is a way of being high. So that's what Red Skywalker feels like to me. It's like, oh, it's a continuation of my early onset dementia. And it's kind of relaxing to not have a handle on everything. And then in terms of these other themes that I've touched upon, you know, I'm really daydreamy about a guy. I don't think that it's real, or it doesn't serve me as being real at this time. Like, it's just a dream. It's just a daydream. That's a really strong theme of Red Skywalker's daydreaming. And I mentioned the guy, the man, the figure for me, partner, dreaming, because that's one of the things I identify as Red Skywalker's theme, is connecting us to the other pillar in the picture of two pillars set on the earth and stretching to the sky, which is the hieroglyph of Red Skywalker, and also because it is our left ring finger, which is where we put our wedding band. So I'm not too hung up on that. I mentioned it last podcast. I'll remind you now. It's just a curiosity. Like, you can just see who are you daydreaming about? You know, that's it. That's just it. I have an answer. Like, oh, right, that daydream. I love owning that it's dreaming and not reality, wanting it to be real, but then going, well, it's also cool when it isn't real, because a daydream, sort of fantasia, or a very like untethered longing or curiosity or wishfulness, I mean, it's a very relaxing feeling if you're not trying to actually get it. If you then don't have to come up with a plan to trap it, to attain it. If you just like float along in the hunger, desire, curiosity, oh, it's just sort of comforting to me. It shows me that I know how to love and that I'm willing. And it's also, I've had to learn the hard way not to try to take the dreams and forge them into something real, really hard and tight and determined. And instead, just be like, well, this is cool that I have a muse, someone I think about. I believe in the ether connection between human beings. And if you love someone from a distance, they're healing from that. They're being loved. So I also feel lucky that I can explore that muscle of love. And then the prophecy piece of Red Skywalker means what? What does it mean? It means maybe you're getting something prophetic right now. I'm going to ask you to look at actions or events that kind of relate also to the lunar moon. I think it's a time where the Red Skywalker prophecy can teach us about what our challenge is and the depth of it. I think I was pretty effective earlier, just a few minutes ago, in talking about challenge as something that can really be fascinating, and that it isn't just an assault against our effective output or our desire to move forward, our ability to. It's the texture of life. It is what makes the earthen experience, the incarnation, rich with story and experience, which helps us as souls to grow. So, I don't know, that sounds kind of like prophecy, because I don't really talk like that much, just here. And so then, you know, you're going to be kind of acting like a prophet right now. And a lot of prophecy or prophet behavior, I think, is pretty solitary. So see if you're on your own. There's that invitation, like, who's your twin flame? Who's your twin pillar? And then there's the, okay, well, if you're on your own, what are you downloading? You know, what is your altered state of solitude or separation from everyday regular life bringing you to understand? What is your tripped out vision? Or it isn't a vision, it's like a sound that you're hearing. Can you hear my dog walking around? It's very cute. I can't make her stop walking around. Now she's scratching. But anyway. Yeah, the prophecy. Now, what I love about Red Skywalker is just how much walking around in the sky you want to do, which could be like just walking a lot, and the effect of just walking, whether you're hiking up a mountain or walking through a busy street, it doesn't really matter, because the act of walking is going to be accompanied by a lot of spacing out or different kind of experience in your mind than monitoring, like, oh, I'm crossing this street now. Well, there's that rock outcropping on my mountain hike. Like, I don't think so. I think the walking is what liberates your mind to wander. My dog's being really loud. I'm going to take care of that and be back. And then there is addiction. What about it? Okay, so this is how I believe things work when we come into Red Skywalker. I believe we face our own methodology for spacing out into an altered state. Obviously, if you just hike this whole wave spell, then you're really healthy in your addiction, and I'm going to give myself some of that credit. I'm pretty healthy. I have some lifelong addictions that started in childhood. They are powerful and redundant. And so when I can revisit them in Red Skywalker, I can kind of ascertain, like, well, how am I doing with my addiction? Here we are again in the time of the shadow energy of trying to escape out of body, disassociate, numb out, meaning like kind of put our body on autopilot and let our minds be way larger than physical limitations. And lots of us do that through inebriants or infatuations, the daydreaming, the fantasia escapades. Like, for me, if I use this time to say I'm doing a check-in, I'm doing an honest reflection, I'm inventorying where I am in my lifelong addictive tendencies, it's good news. It's good news because there's more hiking around than getting stoned, for sure. And yet, I mean, I'm fascinated by how these everyday little niggling hungers, little appetites, the driving desire to just have that thing that I really don't usually let myself have. And you have your version. It's the only thing I want to say about it. Like, I don't have to talk about mine. But you have your version, and it's a great way to find out what it is. Is it drugs and alcohol? Is there too much of that going on right now? Is it like cranked up and inviting you in such a loud voice, calling, screaming, I'm here, I need you to involve yourself in me, that you do, you get drawn in that direction? Or is it that absent-mindedness where you are overindulging in food is an example, sex is an example, relationships are addictive, so you have your version. And I think that's everything that I know about Red Skywalker for the moment. I just love, like, kind of having this this bulletin board of, like, oh, right, Red Skywalker to me is that kind of twin partnership. Oh, Red Skywalker is definitely about prophecy. Red Skywalker is about just the spaciness, you know, having a light head. Red Skywalker is about the shadow of addiction. And then Red Skywalker is prophetic. Like, we hear the prophecy and we are the prophets. I mean, that's a whole array of awakenings. And that's the other thing about Red Skywalker that's fun, is it's called wakefulness. So I think some people have insomnia in this time or need less sleep. Maybe because we're sort of sleepwalking in the day, you know, it's just fluid. Like, in the day we're more dreamy, and at night we need less downtime to dream. Oh, and the last thing is that sometimes when I move through wave spells, I really like thinking about the antipode, just to hold it in the back of my mind or to the side. Like, oh, well, this time is opposite blue night. What is blue night? Blue night is a house, shelter. It's often financial abundance. It is the surrealism of dreaming, you know, that when we actually dream at night, it's not like a daydream where we have a lot of control. It's pretty eclectic and surprises us. Could be meaningful, could be meaningless, but it's odd often. It's trippy. So that's opposite right now. That's balancing. And you can view it two ways. It's like it could be challenging to have shelter right now. It could be challenging to have financial ease right now. It's challenging because it's opposite. But on the other hand, it's balancing. The antipode is always what balances this time. And so if you reach towards the antipode of a wave spell, you create balance. And so if you really worked hard beautifying your home and stayed home a lot in Red Skywalker wave spell, I think it would be a much safer, balanced experience than if you kind of went like, fuck home, I don't want, you know, the responsibilities. I don't mean like you just like quit living in your home, but you're just like, I don't even want to be home right now. I just want to be roaming the streets. I want to be out there. Like that sounds really Red Skywalker and beautiful, but I think it's probably more intense. And these days, I am living for balance rather than intensity. So you can think about the antipode that way for every wave spell. I'll try to remember when we move forward. And then I can talk to you about some of the days recently. I mean, I'm podcasting at the very end of White Rhythmic Mirror, and I'm identifying it because it's a portal day and a white mirror day, but you know, of course you're not going to be able to hear it on White Rhythmic Mirror. I want to say that any white mirror day, I think at some point in the day there's something that we consider a sacrifice, a loss that we can name and identify. It doesn't have to be the worst sacrifice you've ever encountered. It could be really pretty mundane. But you could just identify. You could say, oh, yep, that was the moment that my heart was kind of cut out. Or, it's a loss of control again. It's a surrender. It doesn't have to be like a ritual reenactment of the Mayan teaching of this day, White Mirror, which is having your heart cut out in the human sacrifice ceremony. But it's more what that gesture implies, which is you just like, again, you lose your ability to control, mastermind, or direct your reality and are submissive and surrender. And in that moment, there's some disorientation, a kind of feeling state of loss. You could be terrified even. But very quickly, in a much larger universe, as if you like pass through the portal into freedom, you find on the other side of that loss all this expansion. And I think that's why I love the phrase that when your heart breaks, it breaks open, breaks out of any kind of caged limitation. It becomes bigger. You grow in love and can love larger when you experience heartbreak and loss. So that's White Rhythmic Mirror, and I just think again to notate that it's a portal day. There's only two White Mirror portals. This is one of them. And then you'll be listening to this if you're listening promptly on Blue Resonance Storm, and I'm going to talk about that because I'm a blue storm. So it's kind of like my moment where I can be effective as an authority figure, because you know, I'm this tribe is me. Blue Resonance Storm is the beginning of the blue storm wave spell to come. We are 20 days from the blue storm wave spell. We still have to finish Red Skywalker and pass through the entirety of White World Bridger, and then we'll be at blue storm. And I want to remind you that I think that the most challenging wave spells of the Zolk'in pretty typically start with White World Bridger, the wave spell of death, move through blue storm, the wave spell of transformation that's cathartic, but you know, can resemble our threats of hurricanes. And then after blue storm is yellow human, where we experience fallibility and that kind of ego-driven greed and selfishness that is the shadow of the human being. And after that, red serpent, which is about survival and our base instincts, which kind of takes us out of, I think, higher mind and spiritual consciousness, and it has 10 portal days within it, where we shed a skin of what we can't use anymore that's confining us, so that we can move more lithely in the world. And the Red Serpent Wave Spell with its 10 portals is a portal into itself. It's a massive time of anxiety and fear and threat and defensiveness. And it doesn't have to only be that. It can also have amazing sexuality, or we can feel so close to the earth and primal, but it's heavy. And it's followed by White Mirror, the Wave Spell. Then things maybe shift, because we move into the second half of the Zolk'in with Blue Monkey. That's way out in the future. I don't want us to future trip, but I'm just noticing here in Blue Storm, Blue Resonance Storm, that we're just really 6 days away now, 6-7 days away from those handful. How many wave spells did I just count off? Red, then white, then blue, then yellow, then red, then white. 6 wave spells. Or 5 if we don't include Red Skywalker. 5 wave spells times 13 is 65 days. That's 2 months, essentially, if you're back in the Gregorian ideology of intense wave spells. So I'm just anticipating that a tiny bit. Just love this, like, spiritual preparedness training. And then Blue Resonant Storm will have a tiny kind of, well, maybe not tiny during the Red Skywalker wave, but we could feel some prophetic information on Blue Resonant Storm about, well, what is this Blue Storm wave spell going to be like? It's out there in the future, but the Resonant Day has a preview of it. I wanted to say pre-residue. Residue comes after. It's the pre-residue, comes before. Then Yellow Galactic Sun, which is Tuesday, is the residue of the Yellow Sun wave spell that was. So we remember that. We kind of tie up the bow of that wave spell that preceded this one, which was about the sun itself, the source of light and life and fire. Fire is what I remember. The threat of fire, the tragedy of fire, the power of fire. And then on Wednesday, we'll be in the solar day, which is fiery, of the Red Skywalker wave spell. And it will be Red Solar Dragon. And that's kind of fun, because I don't talk often about, you know, we move through these 20-day columns through the tribes. Of course, we focus on the wave spell, but I also focus on moving through the 20 days, starting with Red Dragon and ending with Yellow Sun. So we're coming to kind of the conclusion here of a 20-day tribe experience. It is a circle, but it also really functions like a story. We start at Red Dragon at birth. We finish joining the sun source, this ultimate enveloping in light, which can feel like dying, but can also feel like, you know, attaining illumination. So you can be in the wave spell while also noticing, like, oh, White Mirror, sort of this grinding, sacrificial moment that leads to the transformation of thinking or feeling or being in the Blue Storm Day, and then Yellow Sun, here I am, and enlightenment that comes after the storm, after the sacrifice, and it also contains joy. So we're in that trio of days, then turning back to being deep in the belly, the womb of the grand, great mother, in a place of darkness that's wet. It's warm from that sun, but it's deep within. There's no sunlight there, and that's how we begin again. And I think that's all I want to say. It seems like enough. And you can find details about the book I wrote at resonanttruth.com. It's called Natural Time. I like it. I want to make sure people know about it. I don't talk about it ever. And I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in La Keshe.